It was primary election day in Wisconsin yesterday. Voters weighed in on the Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice primary and other countywide and local races as well. Daniel Bice joins us to talk about the winners and losers from yesterday's election. He's the Watchdog columnist, and he wrote about this for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for inviting me.
Well, let's start with voter turnout, Dan. First, a statewide election, to use the new voter ID law, first one in quite a while. There are questions about what turnout would be like, especially in a low turnout election, usually like this one. What did we see happen?
Well, actually, the turnout was much better than people expected. Political insiders had told me that they were expecting about 30 to 35,000 people to vote in Milwaukee, and it turned out to be twice that number. And statewide, the numbers were equally impressive. In 2013, the voter turnout was about 360,000, and yesterday it was over 560,000. So the voter ID didn't appear to suppress votes in this race, but the real test will come in April and in November when you have high turnout races in Wisconsin.
Yeah, this is not one of your marquee elections here. Turnout still wasn't huge, but do you think anything about the race this time, either at the state level or with those big Milwaukee County races, drove people to the polls?
It looks like, the turnout in the city was impressive. There was one group that was formed to try to get out the vote in the African-American community. I'm guessing that was a factor. You also have the Supreme Court race. But usually Supreme Court races don't draw as many people as this. So it's an interesting phenomenon. I think you're right that in southeast Wisconsin, the numbers were higher than usual. But I think there probably was people, there were people coming out to vote for and against Rebecca Bradley in the Supreme Court race. So, I mean, those were probably the two major factors.
Now let's look at that Supreme Court race now. Rebecca Bradley, as you mentioned, Joanne Kloppenburg came out as the winners there. They're going to face off in April. What did you make of the results? They're pretty close between the two of them.
Yeah, it was 45% to 43%. And I didn't make either one of those candidates one of my winners or losers. I instead made Governor Scott Walker a loser in this because, you know, he's joined at the hip with Rebecca Bradley. He appointed her to the circuit court, to the appeals court, and now to the Supreme Court. You know, her rapid rise is a direct result of his efforts. And she's, even though she's not used him in any of the campaign material. So I think the race in April will definitely be a referendum on Walker, who's, you know, about as unpopular as he's ever been in the state. So she had a lot of things going for her. Her side outspent the other two candidates by what I'm told a 6-to-1 ratio. And she had a big push on talk radio in southeastern Wisconsin in the last week and a half. And still she ends up winning by only 2 percentage points. And many of the people looking at this race will say Joe Donald, the third candidate, his support will probably go to Kloppenburg. So that's an interesting factor in there as well. The one thing that you can't gauge is what impact the Republican and Democratic presidential primary will have on this race. All of those candidates will be trying to turn out the votes, and it'll be interesting to see if the Republicans get out more votes for Bradley or Democrats get out more votes for Kloppenburg.
Yeah, and this is one of those nonpartisan races where you really want to throw quotes around that. I think the candidates, of course, won't say, yeah, I'm the conservative candidate, yeah, I'm the liberal candidate, but everybody else in the state pretty much knows this, right?
Right. I mean, and there's no reason to say that to put quotes around Republicans getting out the vote for Bradley, because they are Republicans who will be getting out the votes for Bradley, and they will be Democrats getting out the vote for Kloppenburg. It's the candidates that you have to put the quotes around, because both of them are running as nonpartisan candidates.
And we've seen some really expensive Supreme Court races here in Wisconsin in the past. I wonder, this one, what is generally held to be the conservative faction or group on the state Supreme Court already has a majority. This race isn't going to change that. It could give them a stronger majority. So given that it's not a swing vote on the court, do you think we're going to see that much outside money as we have in some cases in the past?
Well, you know, the money so far has come in on the right, I think what you saw in the past week might illustrate the need for this seat for conservatives. There was a Supreme Court case on warrantless searches. The vote was actually 4-3. It was the first time that Bradley had participated in a case. One of the so-called conservatives, David Prosser, voted with the liberals, making it 3-3 without her support. So, you know, Prosser has an independent streak, and if they get this fifth vote, then it locks up the conservative position. On the other hand, this 45-43% result, I think, has got to embolden a number of liberals who probably weren't planning to participate in this race financially or otherwise, and it's got to convince them that maybe this is a winnable seat.
We're talking to Daniel Bice from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about the winners and losers in yesterday's primary elections in Wisconsin. We're going to visit Milwaukee and Milwaukee County in just a few moments, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What did you make of the election results statewide or in your area? Did you vote in yesterday's election? Did you use voter ID for the first time? How'd it go at your polling station? Which Supreme Court candidate are you backing? And did you have a local race that was important to you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our discussion now about yesterday's primary election results with Daniel Bice from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What was your experience like yesterday at the polls? Did you go to the polls? How did voter ID change things at your polling station? And who did you vote for? What candidates are you backing? What races are you watching? Call 800-642-1234. You can post on the Central Time Facebook page. Dan, we'll visit Milwaukee in just a minute, but we've got a couple calls. Talk about turnout and voter ID. Sure. I want to start with Cindy in Fox City. Cindy, hi.
Hello.
Or in the Fox Cities, I should say. Cindy, hi.
Fox Cities. Yes, I actually ran for a county supervisor position here in Appleton, one of our local districts, and we did have a primary. And we are in a district that has well over 2,000 addresses, and we had 165 people show up to vote, which is way less than 10%. So, were any of us winners? Not really.
Interesting. Cindy, thanks a lot for sharing that. So, there are going to be places that see low voter turnout, Dan, and that has people worried about our election system.
Sure. I mean, there are going to be places like that, but the fact is, in general, Wisconsin voters love to vote. We traditionally outpace the rest of the country, and some of the highest turnouts are in the counties right around Milwaukee. So, yes, there will be exceptions, but overall the numbers were much stronger than expected yesterday.
Cindy, thanks a lot for that call. We'll go to Katie now in Clinton. Katie, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to say I used the ID yesterday for the first time, and it went perfectly. It was very smooth. They just checked my picture and my address against the book. I signed the book, got my ballot, and voted, and it was absolutely flawless. There was an elderly woman in front of me that was just praising the whole thing. She went through just flawless. My 19-year-old voted for the very first time, had to go into the polling place and registered and show his ID, and he voted for the first time, and it was wonderful.
Katie, thanks a lot for sharing that. We've heard on Facebook from at least one listener who saw some confusion there. But, Dan, generally some good reviews, it sounds like, on voter ID. Christian Snyder, a conservative writer at your paper, who has supported voter ID all along, I think, said, hey, this vindicates it. What kind of things are we hearing?
I don't think it vindicates it. The true test is in April and again in November, as I said, because this is a relatively low turnout election. I don't know what it was like for you, but when I went to go vote, there was only one person in line in front of me, so it was very easy. I could show them the ID and I moved on. But if you've got a line of 100 people there, it could slow things down. So I think it was a good early review for it, but I don't think you could say that it vindicated voter ID yet.
And it was kind of a dry run for the higher turnout elections.
Sure, sure. I mean, April is going to be incredible. Each of these presidential candidates will be trying to turn out the vote. I expect many, many more people to vote in April.
Talking to Daniel Bice about yesterday's primary elections. You can still join in at 800-642-1234. Races you're watching, how the polls went where you are. 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Well, Daniel, I want to check in on Milwaukee City and County. Now, these are things that people in the state should maybe watch. You've got a mayor who is twice a candidate for governor. You've got a county executive who people
three
have talked
times.
About. Oh, three times,
Three times, back in 2002 in addition to 10
Forgot that
12.
One, You've got a county executive who people said might run for governor, and, of course, the current governor, that was his previous gig. So let's start with the race for mayor there. Tom Barrett, he's crushed it in a lot of races, big wins. How did he come out yesterday?
He ended up with 46% of the vote. He finished first. Second place was Alderman Bob Donovan, a conservative from the city's south side. He got 33% of the vote. And then there was a third candidate. There were four candidates overall, but a third major candidate, Alderman Joe Davis, who ended up with slightly less than 20% of the vote. So 46%. Probably not as strong as they want. You would like as an incumbent to top 50% in a primary. He did not. Still, 13 percentage points is considered a landslide in most places. But, you know, in his last two reelection bids, he's Mayor Barrett's top 70%. And that's going to be very hard for him to do with the crime problems that's going on in Milwaukee right now. But, again, and I've made mention of this a couple of times, the Democratic presidential campaigns will be coming in and trying to turn out the vote in the city, and that's got to favor him over Donovan, who is a conservative.
So he's maybe we could speculate not breaking a huge sweat over yesterday's results.
I think it's not as strong as they would like. You would like to be over 50 percentage points, but I think they're feeling somewhat comfortable going into the general election. They're much more comfortable than the county executive is today.
That's right. Now, we've got an incumbent county executive there. He's got personal money to spend, and he spent some. How did that one turn out?
The incumbent is Chris Abley, who it has fashioned himself as a moderate Democrat, someone who's liberal on social issues, conservative on economic issues. His father's a billionaire, and he himself is a multimillionaire. He's cruised through his last two reelection bids, and now he is facing against Chris Larson, a state senator who was once the Senate Majority Leader. And Abley started spending heavily in October, spent more than $1 million on TV and direct mail over the last few months, and he ended up finishing second, which was a surprising and stunning result. Larson ended up with 45% of the race, even though there's been a lot of turmoil with his campaign, and he's severely underfunded. Abley ended up with 44% of the vote. So it's only 700 votes difference between the two, but I don't know of anyone outside of Abley's pollster who saw this coming.
And this is going to be a race to watch then. That close, that much maybe money on the table, and kind of a internal squabble, maybe a tough decision for some Democrats in the county.
Sure. Larson's running as a traditional liberal Democrat. The question to me is, how much money is Abley going to spend to hang on to the seat? And I was talking with people close to the Abley campaign today, and I said, do you think it's fair for me to say that he'll spend at least $5 million on this race now? And I was told that that estimate is low.
Wow.
That he is, as one person said, that he will spend what it takes to win. There's no number on that. The figure now being tossed around is maybe $7 to $8 million on this race. And the big thing that's going to change here is there was a lot of negative advertising toward Abley, but none against Larson. And I expect the Abley campaign to go very negative against Larson to try to drive up his negatives in the next 2 months.
I want to bring on a couple more callers, talk about their voting experiences. We've got Alex with us in Milwaukee. Alex, hi.
Hi. I voted yesterday at a place I've been going to for 13 years. I knew every one of the workers well, and I had to pull out my ID. It was offensive and embarrassing and awkward. One of the watchers there's elderly mother had misplaced her ID, so she could not vote. This is an attempt by these Republicans to get power and nothing more. It's offensive and genders anger, and I can't wait for them to get out this fall.
Alex, thanks a lot for the call. Do you think, Dan, a lot of people, Democrats for the most part, are sharing that feeling of anger having had to show ID yesterday?
I mean, that's a pretty strong reaction to having to show an ID, but I understand the difficulty for people who don't drive. Surely, I mean, this is clearly a Republican initiative. There's been a lot of debate about whether it's needed or not. When I said that it worked well, overall in terms of not suppressing the vote. I'm not saying whether I agree or disagree with voter ID in general, but I'm sure there were some Democrats in Madison, Milwaukee, who were offended that they had to show their ID to vote at a polling place, just like that gentleman who voted at the same place for many years.
And we'll bring on next Mary in New Berlin. Mary, hi.
Hi. I was at a polling place yesterday where it was very cumbersome. All seven districts were in one location, which gave the feel of a large number of voters. It was cumbersome, and it was slow, and there were lines.
Mary, thanks for that call. And that's what probably some people are worried about, as you say, Dan, come April, when there's going to be a lot more people at the polls.
Sure. And I'm guessing, you know, for it to work, they're going to have to be more poll workers than what we saw yesterday. So as you said, this is probably a dry run. The areas that had difficulties will have time to adjust. And she mentioned New Berlin. In Waukesha County, there were a number of problems, including the fact that the clerk for Waukesha County underestimated the number of people who were going to vote, and so they had problems with ballots as well. So Waukesha County has had problems for the last 5 or 6 years on many fronts with their elections.
Briefly, Dan, as we wrap up, one big question is how many in this presidential primary, how many candidates are going to be left by the time they come to Wisconsin? Do you think that's going to have an impact on turnout if Clinton wins at all by then? Probably not going to happen, or if a lot of Republicans drop out by then?
I think we can be pretty sure that, you know, what we have in front of us is Nevada and South Carolina, and then Super Tuesday, and then not much until our election. So I think we're pretty safe in saying that the Democratic primary is not going to be resolved. And, you know, the consolidation of candidates on the Republican side that many people predicted has just not happened. You have four candidates in Cruz, Rubio, Bush, and Kasich, who continue to poll between 8 and 20%. And, you know, so Trump continues to be in this race. So I think both presidential contests are going to be active and competitive in April.
Dan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure, thanks.
That's Daniel Bice, watchdog columnist at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, with us to talk about yesterday's primary election results.